This is Brian Cambria with news for the Western Slope, Wednesday, June 19, 2013. An email from Delta County Environmental Health Director Ken Nordstrom to the North Fork Mosquito Abatement District Board created a flurry of emails and phone calls Tuesday afternoon. Nordstrom wrote that the health department was proposing to spray the county's river corridors in order to kill West Nile virus-carrying mosquitoes. The move was perceived by many in the North Fork as a direct threat to organic crops and health, and Nordstrom got a lot of calls in advance of the Board of Health meeting held Tuesday afternoon. KVNF's Travis Bubenik reports.
If you called the Delta County Health Department yesterday afternoon, you might have heard this message.
We are not planning to spray the North Fork for mosquitoes. There's no proposal at this time to spray the North Fork for mosquitoes. And if you have any other questions...
That's Ken Nordstrom, the Director of Environmental Health for Delta County. It's actually his voicemail message, which was largely prompted by a last-minute email he sent that initially seemed to indicate that the county was considering aerial mosquito spraying over the North Fork Valley. At least that's how the North Fork Mosquito Abatement District read it.
Well, this time around there was a sort of misunderstanding. We received a...
Tom Wills, Secretary Treasurer for the district, says that some who got the email initially thought it suggested that the county was indeed considering fogging the North Fork.
I got straightened out. That was never the plan. I understand that quite a few people called the health department today and expressed their opposition to aerial spraying taking place in the North Fork.
Some of that worry might have stemmed from spraying operations conducted in the area during last year's outbreak of West Nile virus. The outbreak in Colorado was the nation's worst at the time, and Will says those aerial spraying efforts almost reached the North Fork Valley.
Last year it came pretty close because the former board wasn't too proactive on doing any fogging, any ground fogging. So it came pretty close in the North Fork getting fogged last year. So one of the new board's, the 2013 board's goals is basically to make sure that's not considered by doing our own fogging when it's really necessary, when there's a health threat.
For the time being, the option of fogging the North Fork isn't on the table. That's according to the proposal Nordstrom submitted before the County Health Board on Tuesday.
With all of the organic orchards, all of the organic people and... opposition to aerial spraying, the North Fork Abatement District area in the North Fork, we excluded that from our proposal. But
Nordstrom promptly set the record straight about the rumors of spraying over the North Fork, but did speak about the options and possibilities of conducting an aerial mosquito spraying program over approximately 12,000 acres in Delta County, focusing mainly on river corridors along the Gunnison and primarily covering areas near the towns of Delta, Orchard City, and Cedar Edge. He said the process, developing a contract, sorting out funding, and gaining proper aviation permits, would take about 3 weeks before any spraying could begin. Nordstrom also suggested the option of joining Colorado Mosquito Control's aerial spray, slated to start next week in the Gunnison area.
CMC told us that they were planning to do a proactive spray in the Gunnison area on June 28th, they suggested to us that perhaps if we wanted to be proactive about controlling the mosquito population, that we could probably tag on to their process.
He claimed that approach might be the most effective, and that waiting might be troublesome if a big outbreak occurs.
If you're looking at spraying then, if we get a big outbreak of West Nile virus, we're at the tail end of the season. Really, the best way to control mosquitoes to be proactive and go about it and do it.
Doug Atchley, Delta County Commissioner, was concerned about the plan's $50,000 price tag.
The question I don't know is $50,000, where that comes from.
Right. We do not have it in our health department budget, so we would ask the county commissioners if they could scrape it up.
For now, the board agreed to shelve any action on the spraying proposal near Delta and Orchard City until next month's meeting, and tasked Nordstrom with fine-tuning the contract details and speaking to city officials in the area. While this western half of Delta County may not be spotted with organic farms and homemade wineries, it's still rich agricultural land, with rows of crops lined across its wider, slower-rolling hills. So farmers' opinions will undoubtedly play a role in the board's decisions going forward. For KVNF News, I'm Travis Bubenik.
The Colorado Secretary of State's office on Tuesday announced that a petition to oust Senate President John Morse from office had 10,100 valid signatures, setting in motion the first ever recall election of a lawmaker in the state. The Denver Post reports that organizers with the El Paso Freedom Defense Committee submitted about 16,200 signatures on June 3rd and needed just under 7,200 to be verified. They outpaced that figure by about 3,000 signatures. Morse, a Colorado Springs Democrat, is the target of a recall for his leadership on the party's passage of tougher gun control laws in this year's legislative session. According to the Post, thousands of dollars in undisclosed cash from national organizations have already flooded into the recall effort from both sides. Morse representatives now have a 15-day period to protest the validity of the signatures. Once this period concludes, Morse has a short, week-long window to resign his seat and avoid a recall election altogether. A vacancy committee would then appoint a Democrat to hold it until the 2014 election. But Morse has said he's prepared for a fight. If Morse decides to move forward, an election date must be set by Governor John Hickenlooper that can be no sooner than 45 days or later than 75 days after the end of the protest period. The El Paso County Clerk and Recorder has estimated a special recall election this fall would cost taxpayers upwards of $150,000. In 2010, Morse won his El Paso County district, which resides in one of the most conservative pockets of the state, by less than 350 votes, with a total of 13,866 votes. Morse's colleague, Senator Angela Giron, a Democrat from Pueblo, is also bracing for a possible recall election. Organizers in her district submitted about 13,000 signatures last week and need 11,285 of those verified. The Associated Press reports that U.S. Senators Michael Bennett and Mark Udall are asking a Senate panel to reconsider Federal Railroad Administration safety regulations requiring trains to sound their horns when approaching and passing through crossings. The lawmakers say leaders from Fort Collins, Loveland, Longmont, Greeley, Windsor, and Denver have expressed concerns that train horn noise is a nuisance for local residents and that it stifles economic development. According to the Longmont Times Call, communities can apply for federal permission to create quiet zones where train horn rules can be relaxed if a municipality puts up barriers, warning signals, and takes other measures to alert motorists and pedestrians about oncoming trains. The Grand Junction Daily Sentinel reports that Mesa County officials and leaders urged a state agency on Monday to do no harm to the Western Slope's fragile energy industry. Mesa County Commissioner John Justman urged the Colorado Oil and Gas Conservation Commission to keep the Western Slope economy in mind when drafting regulations. Justman, along with State Senator Steve King, a Republican from Grand Junction, and others, all warned that the Western Colorado economy is fragile as they spoke to the commission, which met at Two Rivers Convention Center. King said the drilling economy on the state's eastern half can withstand more regulatory pressure than the same industry west of the Continental Divide. The Colorado Oil and Gas Conservation Commission oversees exploration and production of oil and natural gas in the state, and the legislature added 19 new inspectors to deal with the industry. The new hiring will break down to 11 new inspectors, bringing the agency's inspection staff to 27. The environmental staff will be increased by 3 new slots, and 2 new engineers will be hired. The Denver Post reports that the Hallmark Channel will film a primetime series in Telluride. Governor John Hickenlooper and the head of the channel made the announcement Tuesday, marking the first time since 1991 that a narrative TV series will be filmed in Colorado. The Colorado Economic Development Commission late last week boosted a rebate for the series called When Calls the Heart. The rebate was raised to $2.7 million after the producer said it was likely the show will go from 6 episodes to 13. Bill Abbott, president and CEO, Hallmark Channel and Hallmark Movie Channel, said in a statement that Colorado provides the perfect backdrop for our Western-inspired series. And finally, the Bureau of Land Management today will begin Stage 1 fire restrictions within Delta, Dolores, Archuleta, La Plata, Montezuma, Montrose, Ouray, and San Miguel counties. Stage 1 fire restrictions prohibit building, maintaining, attending, or using a fire or campfire except a fire within a permanent constructed fire grate in a developed campground. Also, smoking is prohibited on public land except within an enclosed vehicle or building, a developed recreation site, or while stopped in an area at least 3 feet in diameter that is barren or cleared of all flammable materials. The use of fireworks, flares, or other incendiary devices is always prohibited on federal lands. Additionally, operating or using any internal combustion engine without a spark arresting device properly installed, maintained, and in effective working order is always prohibited. The BLM continuously monitors conditions throughout the area and will modify the restrictions as needed. Current weather patterns indicate a prolonged period of high temperatures, extremely low relative humidity, and sustained high winds. Additionally, the weather and fuel conditions are similar to those during historic large fire events in the region. Federal agencies use a three-stage process to limit activities that could cause wildfires during drought conditions. Stage 1 restricts the activities outlined. Stage 2 includes all Stage 1 restrictions, plus prohibits welding, the use of chainsaws, and building, maintaining, attending, or using a fire, campfire, or stove fire. Stage 3 prohibits all burning. Thus concludes today's newscast. For KVNF News, I'm Brian Cambria. Good day.